You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I want to receive something from the Lord today. Father, we know that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in your family. We pray that you would help us to understand and remember that when the devil tries to get involved in our lives and remind us of our past. I ask you to help me preach your word today. You know I need it. Help us to understand your heart just a little bit more, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may take your seats. We're going to turn to 2 Chronicles, verse 20. And I want to tell you a little bit about this story. That's 2 Chronicles, verse 20. When you've got it, just say, I got it. It's a story of Abraham's descendants, the people of Judah. Have you heard about Judah and Israel, the kingdom divided? This is the story of Judah. There was an Israel at the time, but this is a story of Judah. And Judah inheriting inheriting the promises of God also at this point. The king's name is Jehoshaphat, all right? Not Joseph is fat, just Jehoshaphat. And that's how I remembered the name when I was younger. I have some really weird ways I remembered different things about the Bible when I was younger. Anyone else have some weird ways? Like, you know, see, for me, like, I know that the Ten Commandments are found in Deuteronomy and in Exodus. I know that they're found in Deuteronomy chapter 5 because Due is 2 and 2 fives is 10, and that's the Ten Commandments. And I know that the Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20 because if you X 20 and half, you get 10, and there's the Ten Commandments again. Anyone else do weird things like that? Like your brain, you just know that you're the only person in the world that thinks that's smart, but it worked for you, right? Like, yeah, that's how my life works. And so the king's name was Jehoshaphat, and he received word from some of his people that a vast army is coming. A vast army is on its way. And they didn't say, yo, Jehoshaphat, there's a big, big army coming to go to war with us. No, Jehoshaphat, there's a vast army preparing to make war with you. You ever had someone come and bring you a bad report like that? Not just one army of one nation, but this is multiple armies from multiple nations, and they have the Moabites, they have the Ammonites and the Mosquito Bites and all these other bites preparing to overthrow them. What do you do when you get a report like that, church? What do you do when a report means that under no circumstance will you come out of this without wounds? You ever had a report like that? Someone told you something, and it's that moment where you're like, immediately you know that I am about to get hurt. Something's going to hurt me right now. And you're not thinking anymore about how to prevent the hurt. You're now planning, how do I mitigate the pain? How do I manage the pain? How do I limit the scope of the pain? Have you ever had a report like that? A moment like that? That in the natural, when an army is coming, you will get a wound. Even if your army is 10 times bigger, there will be loss of life. You might even lose the battle. You'll lose your kingdom. You'll lose all that you worked for. You'll lose all that you cared about and all that God has blessed you with. And you can see the end coming. What's worse, what if it's all because of a stupid past mistake? Maybe a mistake made in good intentions, but a mistake nonetheless. What if that moment has just come to roost on your doorstep? What do you do when the devil comes knocking? What do you do when the devil comes with an army like that? Some of you have had moments like this, haven't you? You know, that moment where you just think everything's good, and then out of nowhere, you just feel like you just swallowed a 20-pound piece of lead and it's sticking in your stomach. And your stomach is churning because lead doesn't belong in here. Have you ever had a moment like that, church, where it feels like you swallowed lead? Let's look at what King Jehoshaphat did. We'll pick up in verse 5. We'll read through to verse 9. Are you ready? Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. Good to know who your God is, amen. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this very land before your people Israel and give it to us forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built a sanctuary for your name. And they were saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine. See, this is the moment we're having right now. We are saying that if the devil comes knocking, all right, they are saying if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this very temple that bears your name and cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us. And you will save us. See, he did something. What did Jehoshaphat do when the devil came knocking? He did something that he knew beforehand that they should do. See, it's they already knew what to do. Because many, many years earlier, they said that we've been saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or bankruptcy or pain or relational strife or an enemy, whatever comes upon us, plague or famine, we will stand in your presence. And now after having said what will happen, now they find themselves standing in the presence of God because the devil is knocking on their door. Have we got any men in here that ever go to bed at night thinking about what they would do if something goes bad? I don't know if women do it, but I know how messed up men are, so I can only speak to the messed up state of our minds. But are there any men in here that go to bed thinking about if somebody took my daughter, I'm gonna bust out my best Liam Neeson on their butt? Anybody else do that? And you literally in your head have now invented a scenario where someone took your daughter. And then you're up on the phone and you're like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. I don't have money. But what I do have is a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go, that'll be the end of it. I will not pursue you, but if you do not, I will pursue you, and I will find you, and I will kill you. Any other men do that? Yeah, come on, be honest, you bunch of liars. Any other men do that? Come on, there we go. There are some like very self-respected men in here who are like, I do, but I ain't telling nobody how messed up it is in my head right now. And you know what the good thing about doing that is? If somebody takes Zoe, I know what to do. I'm gonna make a phone call that scares the snot out of them. Because I know that in real life, if that happened, that other dude on the other end, he'd be like, hey, princess, you can go. Go now. I don't know if he's lying or not, but that dude sounds scary. You can go, right? See, I know what to do if calamity comes. Jehoshaphat and all of Judah had practiced in their head what to do if the scenario comes. They had thought about it, they had talked about it, they had dreamed about it, and they had said, Scripture shows us that they were saying that if calamity comes, we will stand in this house and stand in your presence and ask you for help. And so now the devil's knocking on their door. But the devil didn't know that Jehoshaphat had a spiritual Holy Ghost uppercut coming right for his chin. See, the devil's an idiot. You know that, right? Some of you are like, you can't say words like idiot in church. I can, sir. The devil's an idiot. That's the only one that you can say he's an idiot. He's a jack donkey. You can say whatever you want about him, and God's up there going, yeah, say it again, son. Like, come on now. That guy, you can. He's the only one you can tell him to go to hell. He's the only one. You can't say it to the person driving in front of you. You can't say it to your husband, but you can say it to him, all right? Come on, that's where he's from. He's an idiot. And he didn't know that Jehoshaphat had a supernatural uppercut coming for his chin. Because Jehoshaphat had practiced what to do. He did exactly what he promised he would do. Exactly what he planned he would do. Exactly what he had learned to do. Just like we are learning to do it today. Because some of you are in the middle of calamity. Some of you are in the middle of a plague. I don't know what it is. But I want to tell you today, I'm telling you what to do. I'm going to show you what to do. And if you do it, it will bless your life. Some of you are at a really great point, a really great place. I've got to be honest with you, I really love my life. It's brilliant, right? My wife and I were talking about it just a couple of days ago, standing on our front deck looking at freshly mown grass. Something about freshly mown grass that makes me take stock of my life. Does anybody else do that? Good. See, I love it when the reason I preach, honestly, is so that I can find out if it's just me that's jacked up, you know? And I ask questions, y'all like, yeah, I do that. And I'm like, oh, cool, I'm a normal dude. I was sitting there and I'm like, I love my life. I really do. It's a blessed life. But in the midst of the blessing, I want to know what to do if calamity tries to come into my life. See, I'm not saying it will come in, but it's going to try. It's going to try. You better believe the devil's going to try to take me out. I want to know now what to do then. We don't want to wait and see. We don't want to wing it when it happens. And so scripture shows us that Jehoshaphat immediately went and stood in God's presence like he had learned to do. And he said the most amazing thing that you can say to God when you're feeling overwhelmed. He said, we do not know what to do. We do not know what to do. Story of my life. Story of almost every big decision I've had to make as lead pastor in this church. God, I don't know what to do. But God speaks and God moves when we stand in his presence with so much humility that it says, I honestly don't know what to do, God. And then you know what he says? But our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you, God. All we have planned, God, is to stand here in your presence, praise your name and ask you for help, and then watch you move on our behalf. See, I don't know what to do when a competitor is opening a business across the street from us. I don't know what to do when the doctor says you have cancer. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what to do when people start spreading rumors about my past, let alone rumors about me now. I don't know what to do if there's an eviction notice posted on my door. I don't know what to do if my wife says, change or I'm leaving tonight. I don't know what to do when these things come. But God, my eyes are on you. I'm watching, I'm waiting, I'm convinced that if my eyes are on you, we will see this through. And you will do a miracle, and you will speak to me, and you will guide me, and you will lead me, and you will save me, amen. Now listen to this. They were in the temple where God's presence was. And they knew that they needed to stay in God's presence. And God inhabits the praises of his people. So when it became time to go to war, when it became time to take up their positions, time to march into what in the natural looked like certain death. They sent out Luke and Dingman. We're going to go to battle right now. There's three armies from three nations. There was a third wheel. We'll get to those losers in a minute. And they don't know what to do. So they send Pastor Luke and Matt Dingman out to sing some songs to the other army. And the army's like, are they serenading us right now? That's what they think's going to work. Scripture says that when it came time to take up their positions, they sent out an army of worshipers. They sent out the praise band. And there they confront a mistake from many, many years earlier, a mistake that the devil wanted to use to destroy them today, because he loves to bring your past back into your present and try and destroy you with something that God's already redeemed. See, just who are these people that are marching against God's people? Who are the Moabites and the Ammonites? They are both descendants of Lot. Well, who's Lot? Lot is the nephew of Abraham. See, God knew that Abraham's relatives would cause him and his descendants problems. And they were the sort of people that would doubt God. Now, don't be like going home today and telling your wife or your husband that God knew you'd be a problem for me. To your mom and dad, you were going to be a problem. God has told me to leave you behind. Pastor Jesse, no, that's not what I'm saying. These particular people were the sort of people that would doubt God. Not only would they doubt God, but they would doubt the calling of God on Abraham's life. The sort of people that would be a thorn in Abraham's side. And so when God called Abraham, he said these very words to Abraham, verbatim, leave your native country. Leave your relatives and leave your father's family and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make you famous. There's not a dude in all the world from that long ago that's more famous than Abraham, by the way. Right? God's word is true. See, Abraham did not do what God said, but God did do what God said. Abraham didn't do what he was told to do, but God did what God said he would do and blessed Abraham and made Abraham famous. See, Abraham, he took his nephew Lot with him. I don't know why he did it. Maybe it's because his nephew's dad had passed away. He had. Maybe he felt bad leaving him with his granddad. He probably did. I don't know why he did it, but sometimes we do in life feel a greater pressure from people than from God, don't we? Sometimes in life we feel a greater pressure to do what's right by a person as opposed to what's right by God. And what's right by the person might not even be right, it just might seem right because it makes us feel good at the time. There are many times in our lives where people will want us to say or do a certain thing when God has said to do a other thing. Praise God that our behavior doesn't dictate the calling of God on our lives, because God blessed Abraham nonetheless. But that thing caused him a problem many years down the line. See, I know, like, you know, on a very small scale, like, we just bought an espresso machine because we're moving because up there we're building a production lounge this week or next week, and so we're moving the cafe downstairs, which is where we always wanted it anyway, but half of you didn't even know we've had a cafe for 5 years, and we didn't want to tell you because we couldn't handle the business, we couldn't handle all the coffees, and we're like, when we move it downstairs, it's going to double the amount of coffees we have to make, and so we need a new espresso machine, and so we got a new one, and praise God for a gentleman in our church who got it for us brand spanking new at half price. That's pretty cool. And then every now and again, someone will say, and good intentions, and you know, they're not bad people, they're nice, I've got no problem, they're just making good decisions. They're like, this is a logical time to start charging for coffee. But we didn't get it so we could pay for it. We didn't get it so we could make money from it. We got it so that more people could get more free coffees every week. So that more people could hang out in the foyer and chat. And if they're walking out a little tired, they go, zing, I'm awake now. And they come into church, fired up, had a triple shot espresso as they're walking into church. Come on, man. You know why our services are so fired up? Because y'all are jacked up on coffee beans. We love it. That's why we got it. We didn't get it to make money. We got it because we have a generous heart. And I wanted to make sure that we can give double the amount of people free coffees every single week. Because that's the culture that God told us to build in our church, that we give stuff away. We sell merch out there. Did you know that? The t-shirts and the notebooks, you can buy them. But we also have a sign saying, if you currently can't afford anything, go and get it and take it. We'll give it to you. You want a notebook, a hoodie, a t-shirt, and a pen? Go get it. We'll give it to you. We don't care. That's the heart we have here. And when you obey people right now, you feel good. You're like, yeah, I listen to people. But later on, something changes in the culture. Something changes. Something's undone in what God wanted to do. And it hurts you later. He took nephew Lot with him. I don't know why he did it. I'm sure he had good intentions. But those good intentions came back to bite him in the bum. Excuse me, 1 second. See, Moab and Ben-Ammi. The Moabites were the descendants of Moab, the boy Moab. And the Ammonites are the descendants of a man named Ben-Ammi, the boy Ben-Ammi. They were the sons of Lot. And Lot's two very own daughters. Yes, I mean exactly what that sounded like. Lot had two daughters. And then Lot slept with each daughter individually and had two sons. One's name was Moab. His granddad and dad were the same dude. One's was Ben-Ammi. His granddad and dad were the same dude. And their whole people's identity was summed up in a name that means exactly that. Their names mean Moab is of his father. And Ben-Ammi means of her father. Their names, their identities were summed up in the sins of their fathers and mothers. Their identities were found in their earthly fathers. The Moabites and the Ammonites, their identities are found in the sins of the past. But not Jehoshaphat, not his tribe. This was the tribe called Judah. Their identity was in the name Judah. That name Judah means praise. Praise. Judah means praise. And so here, there's the one that means praise. Praise who? Praise the Father. Not our Father. Praise the Father. Not his Father, her Father. The Father in heaven. Not an earthly Father. The Father. So now the tribe called praise confronts the tribe called sin and the tribe called past and the tribe called my past mistakes and the tribe called praise comes to battle with a song of praise. Because that's what's in their nature, is to praise when calamity comes to knock on their door. Praise is in their nature when the battle is coming. And so they come and they come out singing, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. That's exactly what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. God is our Father. We're praising our Father in heaven. Our identity is wrapped up in the praises sung to God the Father. Come on, praise the Lord. Their identity is wrapped up in Grandpa slept with my mom. That's what their identity is wrapped up in. Praise. Judah's identity is wrapped up in God is good. God's love endures forever. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. And then without even lifting a finger, without losing a single soul, the Lord ambushes the armies of sin and past. And then something remarkable happens. It's hilarious. The Word of God has some funny stories in it, doesn't it? Like, some people are like freaking out because, like, Pastor Jesse, you know, watched, Happy Gilmore or something like that. And they're like, what's going on? That's unhealthy. I'm like, have you even read the Bible? Like, if they made the whole thing into a movie, it would be R-rated. Like, for sure. Did you just listen to that story? Like, come on, there's some crazy things that happen in the Word of God. Ben-Ami's tribe and Moab's tribe turn on the third wheel. So you remember there was another tribe in there? There was another group of people. I can't remember the name. It was like Meshwites or something. We'll just call them the Mosquito Bites. And so the Mosquito Bites are just hanging out, and they check out that the Moabites and the Ammonites are going to go and attack Judah. And they're like, two against one, you guys are going to win. And Judah's got lots of wealth. Let's go get that. I'm going to jump on board. I'm going to jump on that wagon. I'm going to get some of those spoils because now it's going to be 3-on-1. This is going to be fantastic. They got no business being here. They're just a third wheel. You ever get that? Like, people are picking on you and some jack donkey from nowhere just jumps in and just wants to have a go at you as well. He's the first one that's going to go. That's the first one that's going down. You know that, right? Come on now. And so what happens is God does something. I don't know what happens, but the Moabites and the Ammonites turn on the Mosquito Bites and crush them. Just destroy them. Demolish them, kills every single last one of them. And then, so after they team up and wipe them out, now it's just Moab and Ammon left over, and scripture says verbatim, and this is hilarious, listen to this. Then it says, and then they helped kill each other. Like, what? They helped? They helped who? They're like, you know what? I don't even know why we killed them, but now you're ticking me off. And then they start killing each other, destroying each other. I love the words, and they helped. It's like, God is crushing my enemy, and my enemy's like, good job, God. I'm going to help you out on this. Dish, dish, dish. It's unreal. When you keep your eyes on God, when God's presence is your go-to response, when you go to battle the enemy with praise and worship, your past mistakes and everything the devil tries to throw at you will help kill themselves. Did you hear me? I'm preaching better than you're getting this right now. When you go to God's presence as your go-to response and you go to battle in praise and in worship, your past mistakes and what the devil's the new thing, the mosquito bites, the new thing and your past mistakes are going to battle together and kill each other. Your past mistakes somehow are going to destroy the new thing, and then the new thing's going to kill itself. That's what happens when you go to battle with praise and worship. I'm picturing some people who are spreading rumors about you at work. I'm picturing it right now. And as you act godly and you respond in prayer and you respond in praise and worship, you find your comfort in the presence of God. And so that you don't shame them because of their past, because Christians don't shame. Christians don't say shame on you. Christians don't say shame on, shame, shame. We don't say that because God came to defeat shame. We don't start a rumor. Even if at their last job they did steal $1,000, we don't, in response to their attack, say to everybody, they stole $1,000 at KFC. We don't do that. We don't need to. We go to praise. We go to worship. We go to the presence of God. We don't need to sow discord because they will destroy themselves. I'm picturing them turning on each other and wiping themselves out and leaving you with the spoils and the promotion that was coming. God uses all things to bless us, even our mistakes, even the attacks of the enemy, all of it. See, we see, now listen to this. As the band, you can come back out, guys. Listen to this. This is brilliant, okay? They turn on the mosquito bites, then they turn on each other. And without lifting a finger, we see that after this war against themselves, the people of Judah spend 3 whole days collecting the spoils of a war they didn't fight. They spend 3 whole days collecting the gold, collecting more armor to use in future battles, collecting more swords to defeat the enemy in the next battle, collecting all the gold, collecting all the food. They spent 3 whole days collecting the spoils, and there was leftovers. Would you stand up with me, church? This is a good word for some of you. When the devil comes, he just doesn't get it. I look and I go, hey, thanks, bro. You're going to die, and I'm going to keep your sword. That's how we got to look at the devil now. When he comes, he's like, I'm going to get you. And you're like, no, I'm going to get your sword. I'm going to stab you with it. Come on now. So I have a reputation for being a little violent with my explanations. I apologize. Jesus said he'll never leave you, church. He'll never forsake you. You are not alone. And I want you to know right now how to respond when you sense an attack coming. You immediately go to God's presence. You immediately go to God's presence. We know now what to do then. And we talk about it. And we remind ourselves. So we are in the habit of not freaking out, but going to God's presence in humility and saying, I don't know what to do. But God, my eyes, they're on you. And I know the only weapon I've got is a song of praise. Because the last time the devil stuck around for a praise party, his army got demolished. Remind him. Remind him that your past is paid for. When he comes and tries to use a past mistake like bringing Lot when you shouldn't have brought Lot, when he comes to try and remind you of that, you remind him what happens when he crosses a man or a woman of God. You remind him that Jesus took my sin. Scripture doesn't say that Jesus paid the price for my sin alone. It says he paid the price for my sin and he took the sins of the world upon his shoulders, which means he took my sin away, which means that's not my trash that you're bringing up into my place right now. I'm a new creation. I've been set free. I've been restored. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. That's not my mistake. Get that out of my face, devil. Don't buy into the lies of the devil that you still need to be punished, that you don't deserve to be happy, that you don't deserve your beautiful family. They're lies, lies, and lies, because that wasn't you. It's time for a praise party. Some of you need to go home today and have a praise party at home. Some of you need to gather your family, your wife, or your husband, and your children, and say, kids, there's something going on. You've sensed it. You know it. There's something happening in our family. There's things been going on in our family. And the only weapon we've got is praise. We need to have a praise party. Alexa, play Hillsong Worship. We're having a praise party right now, kids. Come on now. Some of y'all need to go home and have a praise party tonight. Some of you during the week might have a bad day at work. But you don't need to do this on your own. If it's going bad at work, and you can feel it going bad, and you know it's going bad, and you go, I need to get home. Don't just go home. Ring your wife, ring your husband. Baby, when I get home tonight, we need to have a praise party. Something's going on. I can feel it. I can sense it. But remember, on Sunday, Pastor Jesse told us what to do if this would happen. And just like those Israelites, they knew what to do because they talked about it. We know what to do now. Something's going on. Don't just freak out. Gather your people. Gather your people. And say, honey, we need a praise party. And you go home. Alexa, throw on Elevation Worship right now and then have a praise party. And in the middle of it, crank it up. I don't care if you live in an apartment. Let the presence of God permeate those walls. Come on now. Have a praise party in there. Yell out the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And then collect the spoils. If the devil comes for your family, for your health, for your job, gather your people, have a praise party, and watch that little punk run away. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're gonna praise him good. Come on now. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's exactly verbatim what it says in Romans, the Word of God. Romans is in the New Testament. That's after Jesus came. God is making sure that you know that if you give your life to Jesus Christ, there is no more shame or punishment coming from heaven to you. None. In fact, as far as God is concerned, he took that off you, and you can say, wasn't me. They may have caught it on camera. Wasn't me. You didn't do it. Come on. That's what that means. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, you need to give him your life today. If you don't have a friendship with God, would you do me a favor and pray a prayer with me right now and give him your life? Let him take away the shame of your past mistakes. Join the family of God. Learn how to win and get spoils every time an attack comes, so that when an attack comes, you're not like, oh no, you're like, here comes a blessing. Here comes a blessing, amen. Come on, that's what God wants to do in your life. That's the truth of it. That's the Word of God. And he wants to give you eternal life in heaven, not hell. He wants to make you a part of a family and give you peace and hope and purpose. Scripture says all you need to do is pray a prayer. Sorry, all you need to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. We're not asking you to change. There's something in your life that people have been telling you to change forever. That's not our job. It's not my job. I'm not going to tell you to change that. That's between you and God. God is the one who transforms our lives. God is the one who will speak to you if something's wrong. God is the one who, if there's something destructive in your life, will heal you of it and give you hope. All right, come on, that's God. All I want you to do is meet him. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to give him your life, I want you to pray this prayer after me, one line at a time. You will not be alone. Every single person in the room will pray this out loud with you. We'll all do it together, okay? So everybody, but especially those who want to give their life to Jesus right now, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin. He rose again to give me life, to give me hope, joy, peace, purpose, and everlasting life. Please forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. You call them sin. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. I receive this new life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.